If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you need to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
Bob, and the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word revealed by your Holy Spirit to our hearts this morning so we can hear from you and receive from you and to be fed by you and nourished by you. So I pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit you would open our hearts to receive from you today, take away the distractions that may be on our mind and the burdens that we brought in here this morning as we cast them on you. And I pray, Lord, that through your word we have an encounter with you. Bring glory to yourself through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Many of you all know, about my wonderful mechanic ability and how great I am with mechanics and technical know-how. Now, I am learning, getting better, and George can admit this, I'm getting better with technical stuff and computer wisdom than I used to be. But you all know my dad was a pastor, and I received my great mechanical technology know-how from my dad. He was probably worse than me when it comes to knowing how to do things. And one time when I was a kid, we were on a family vacation in the summer, and we were out in western Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh, and we come out here to Callan's Gap in Fulton County, if anybody knows where Callan's Gap State Park is in Fulton County. And we were camping there for the week, and we rented a trailer. And so on our way home, we got ready to go home. My dad hooked the trailer up to the hitch and the safety chain, and we started heading home on the turnpike going west. And I'm sitting in the back seat of the car, and I'm seeing the trailer bouncing up and down. I mean, it is bouncing. When every bounce and every hit and bump on the road, the trailer's bouncing and bouncing. I said, "Dad," I said, "the trailer's bouncing back there." He says, "Oh, it's fine. It's supposed to do that." So we kept going down the road. We're getting farther. It's bouncing more the more we go. I said, "Dad, it's really bouncing back there." He says, "Don't worry about it. It's supposed to do that." So we drove all the way across the state of Pennsylvania, the turnpike, through the tunnels, the double tunnels, through the mountains, get all the way to Irwin, Pennsylvania. That's close to Pittsburgh. We get off to take the trailer back to the trailer rental place. And the guy said, to my dad, he said, "Well, I can sure tell you're a preacher." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Well, someone was looking after you." He said, "That trailer was not hitched." Here he put it on the trailer hitch on the ball, but never locked the ball, and pulled it all the way across the state only by the safety chains. And that was it. But the safety chains did their work and supported the trailer because they were supporting, and that's what they were supposed to do. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. Often he doesn't get the attention, but he is the support that without him underneath us, supporting us, we would not be able to succeed. We would not be able to live. We would not be able to grow in our relationship with Christ. The Holy Spirit is that one. He does not have the starring role, but he often takes the additional role. And this morning I'm going to talk about what is the role of the Holy Spirit in my life, in your life. And I'm glad you asked that question, because we're going to share together what it means as we discover his work within us. Now, playing an instrument means that one day you'll think less about mechanics and begin to mastery the wonder. When Thelma first learned to play the piano, I'm sure Thelma had to learn the basics and had to learn how to read the notes and how to learn the timing. And Thelma is very meticulous on the timing. And she often has to correct me on it. But learning the basics. And you don't sit down at the very beginning the first time on a piano and play a concerto. It takes learning. It takes learning the mastery and the basics. Gene, whenever he didn't just become a major league pitcher overnight. It took years and years of learning the basics of baseball, right, Gene? And learning the mechanics and the skill of the game. It took a lot of nights, yeah. And then learning that, eventually it became natural and he was able to where he was. That's how the Holy Spirit's role in our life, the role of the Holy Spirit, takes us beyond the steps and procedures and the basics into a dynamic relationship with Christ and how to grow in our faith. It doesn't just happen overnight. His role and his work within our life is to help us to develop and to support us and to help us to learn what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. We have been learning together this summer about the Holy Spirit, his role, his personhood, who he is, and what he does. And today, as we focus in on his role, it's important to know what his role and purpose in our life is so that we don't hinder that. Last week, we learned about how we can hinder his work within us when we quench him. And we learned that we quench the Spirit when we don't do what he wants us to do. Or when we grieve him, when we do what he doesn't want us to do. And we hinder his work within our life. Jesus, before he was going to heaven, before he's going to give his life on the cross, shared in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, teaching on the Holy Spirit and what he was coming to do. Knowing that he was going to be leaving his disciples shortly, knowing that they were going to be left alone, they would be mourning his loss, they were going to be feeling alone, he said, "I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, who's going to be your comforter, who's going to be your counselor." And he said, "It's good that I go away, because," he said, "if I don't go away, he won't be able to come to you. But I will be sending him to you so that he will be with you always, so that he will bring you my peace. See, he will enable you to live for me." And so he shared with them in these chapters the role of what the Holy Spirit has come to do. So this morning, let's look at the Word of God together, and we're going to discover four particular roles of the Holy Spirit's work in your life and mine, what God has sent him to do within us. And we first discover his role is he is our helper. As the Holy Spirit, he is our helper and our guide. John records for us Jesus' words. It says that, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. And I will give you a counselor who will be with you forever." Counsel, that word counselor can mean comforter. It can also mean counselor or help. But he is our comforter. the one who comforts us and helps us in those hard times. He brings us his peace. And he said, my peace I will leave with you. When the counselor comes, he will speak in my name and teach you all things. In that he is our comforter, he strengthens us. He gives us strength when we feel that we don't have it on our own. He comforts us in times of sorrow. He comforts us in times of need. Jesus said, I will not leave you as an orphan, but we have that assuring presence of that comfort and of that strength. As our comforter here, he empowers us. He empowers us to do what the Lord wants us to do. And he encourages our heart and our spirit and emboldens us and gives us strength. As you read the lives of the disciples, in the time when Jesus was being on trial in the garden, and the trial before the Sanhedrin, Peter was warming himself by a fire. And you remember the story. And a young girl came up to him and said, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And Peter said, no. Again, they ask him, well, surely one of his disciples. You have a Galilean accent. Your guy accent gives you away. And he said, no, I don't even know who you're talking about. And three times in fear, he denied he knew Jesus. But later, after the resurrection of Christ and the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And Peter stood up boldly and proclaimed that when the word of God in power. And it said at the end of that message, over 3,000 were saved. In fact, Peter with boldness said, I can do nothing but speak in the name of Christ. And he had that boldness in his life. And what made the difference transforming him from fear to great boldness? It was the power of the Holy Spirit within him. And as our helper, he helps us and gives us boldness to be strong in our faith, not to be silent, but to have the boldness we need, the comfort in times of strength, the comfort in times of sorrow, the strength that we need to endure the hard times of life, the peace that he brings that only he can do. He is our helper and that he comforts us. But he is our guide because he's our counselor. And that he guides our steps. And he says, I will teach you what you need to know. He said, the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. Verse 26 says, he will remind you of everything I have said to you. And that he guides us and directs us and teaches us and gives us wisdom. And he will guide and direct us. And the Holy Spirit shows us, part of the way is he shows us the right path. We talked last week about quenching him or grieving him. And as he speaks to us through that still small voice, he guides us down the right path. And when we don't follow his leading, we are grieving him or quenching him. But he gives us wisdom and he gives us direction. And he will guide and direct, but we need to be tuned into him. Remember the days when you had trying to tune a radio, the dial before the days of digital? Remember those? And you're trying to get a station on the radio and you're trying to tune in to get the dial set to where you want, and there's all that interference. And remember that interference that come from another radio station and you can't get the one you were listening to? And it got to be a distraction because of all the interference. And the Holy Spirit wants to guide us, but we got to be tuned in to him. And we got to be listening to him. And that means attentive to his voice. Meaning being quiet. Because as Ralph said earlier, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a still, small, quiet voice. A gentle whisper. You remember when Elijah had run from King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who were trying to hunt him down and kill him. And he ran into the cave and went looking for a word from the Lord. And somewhere a message of encouragement, because he was really discouraged. And this earthquake came. And he thought, surely the Lord's speaking through that. And he said, no, but God wasn't in that. And there was a wind, and But God wasn't in that. And still there's a quiet, still, small voice, a gentle whisper. And he went out in the entrance of the cave because he knew God was speaking to him. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in that small, quiet, still, small voice. But in order to hear him, we got to be quiet before him. We got to sit in his presence. As the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And be tuned in to him, which means all the background noise, all the distractions out there, we have to eliminate so that we can hear him. Have you ever been in a crowd of people and all these people are talking at the same time and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody one-on-one and all these other distractions of everybody else's conversation, you're picking up pieces of it and you can't focus in on the person who's talking to you? I have to admit, I have that problem at times. Anybody else? And see, it can be the same way with God, with his Spirit. All the distractions and all the cares of the world, all the things that can distract us and fight for our attention can keep us from hearing him. So eliminating those distractions, being quiet before him, being attentive and tuned to his voice, because he will guide us as our helper. He will guide us. He will direct our steps. He will lead our pathway. The scripture says in Galatians, keep in step with him. And he will do that, but we have to be quiet before him. And also have to recognize his voice. Know who it is who's speaking. Jesus told us in John chapter 10 that he is the good shepherd and we're the sheep. And he said, we follow him. And he said, the sheep will recognize or know his voice. And he said, they won't follow a stranger. Why is it important to recognize the voice of the Lord? It's so that we know who is really speaking to us. Because see, Satan can masquerade himself as an angel of light. And Satan can take the truth and he can mix enough of the truth in with it that he can deceive us and we may not be hearing from the Lord, maybe be hearing from the enemy. And so learning how to recognize the voice of truth so that when he speaks to us, we can follow him, recognizing him and being submissive to his voice, that as he speaks to us as sheep, we follow. So his role in our life is he is our helper and he is our guide. But second, his second role in our life is he is the revealer of truth. Turn with me to John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus, continuing in this section, said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. He knew that he would be going to the cross. The disciples couldn't handle hearing anything else. They knew their hearts were going to be heavy. He said, I have more to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. But when he, the Spirit of who? Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own, but will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you of what is yet to come. He is a Spirit of truth and reveals the truth to us in that he gives us understanding. Because he helps us understand the Word of God. He helps us understand. Jesus said, he will take my Word and help you understand it and reveal it to you. And as we come to the Word of God and we're reading it, it's important to ask the Lord through your Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Reveal yourself to me. What are you saying? Because when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into the truth. And the purpose of the Scripture is to reveal the Lord. And that was why God had given it to us. It's that when we approach the Word of God, he is revealing himself to us. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, and righteousness. In fact, the word of God itself was breathed into existence by God. So he wrote the book. And if you want to understand what the book means, and if you're reading a book and you want to know the plot of the story, you can ask somebody else who's read it. Or you can do a book, read a review of somebody that read a review of the book and maybe find out that way. But the best way is to read the book yourself. And the same with the scripture. To get that understanding, the best way to understand is to ask the author. Ask God, because he's the one who wrote it. And he can reveal that to us and give us understanding of the inspiration and illumination of scripture. Asking him, because he wrote it. He helps us, gives us understanding of his word and of his truth, because he is the revealer of truth. And that truth there is the truth of the word of God, but it's also the truth of Christ. Because remember, Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the life, and the truth. So he reveals himself to us. That's part of the role of the Holy Spirit, to help us understand more of who the Lord is, of his word, of his will, of his way, of his work within us. So when you need understanding, know that the Holy Spirit's role within you is to help you understand. Give us understanding of his word and of the Lord better. But he also gives us discernment, because he is the truth. And he helps us recognize and know what is true and what is not. In an age of deception, when so many people are easily being deceived, it's important to know what is true. And how do we do that? It's by the Spirit of truth, who is the revealer of it. Knowing the word of God so well that we can spot the falsehood. But he gives us discernment to be able to help us recognize and to know. Several years ago, and this goes back years now, this goes back quite some time, at least 10, maybe years or longer. Kim was at conference, and they had the ladies program that one year. This goes back, Bishop Cole was bishop at the time, so this goes way back. Right after we married, so it's almost 30-some years ago. And Kim was at conference, and she was in the ladies program. And they had a speaker that was speaking to the pastor's wives there. And this leader had all the pastor's wives come into this room. She said, we're all going to get into a circle. And we're all going to sit in this circle. And we're all going to close our eyes. And we're going to meditate. And we're going to use this word and go, and meditate and reflect and clear your mind. And just learn to relax. And Kim says, the Holy Spirit working within our hearts said, this isn't right. And the discernment of the Holy Spirit on her said, I got to get out of here. And she got up, and another pastor's wife got up and left. But the rest of them stayed there and went through that practice. After it was over, Kim told me about it, and I went to a book that I have on the New Age movement, and the practice of what they were doing was exactly in this. So Kim had taken it and showed it to our bishop at the time and said, this is what was going on. But the Holy Spirit had given her discernment to know that, hey, there's something wrong here. Have you ever been somewhere where the Holy Spirit says, you know, this just isn't right? You just need to get out of there or stop what you're doing. He gives us that discernment to be able to recognize truth from error and what is right and what is wrong. It's part of his role as the revealer of truth. See, he's our helper and guide, but he's also the revealer of truth. But third, he's the giver of gifts. He gives gifts in our life and gives good gifts. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. It says that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them. Let's look at verse 7 particularly. Now to each one, the manifestation is of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To other miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing of spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. And all these are all the work of the one of the same Spirit, as he gives to each one as just as he determines. Do you see a common word there, that the gifts are given by who? The Spirit of God. His role is within your life and mine is to give you gifts for service and use. And because he gives them, he decides. And sometimes we may say, I wish I had a different gift, or I wish I could do this. But God has given you the gifts you have as he has determined for what he knows is best for your service in the kingdom and for what he has gifted you to do. And we can be thankful and receive those gifts from the Lord because he has given them to you according to his good purpose and will so that you can carry forth and do your part in building up the kingdom. And it says, and each one of us use the gifts God's given us, the whole church grows strong and is built up and we become mature in Christ. And he challenges us to use those gifts we've been given for God's glory and for the good of the church. It said they've been given for the common good, so that each one of us can be strengthened as we use the gifts God's given us for the good and the work of the church. But God has gifted you. His Spirit has put within you certain gifts that he knows is best as he has determined for you to have. And be thankful for them as he has given them to you, and use and discover those for his glory. He is the giver of gifts. You have been gifted by him. But he is also the producer of fruit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Part of his role in our life is to produce fruit. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He is the producer of fruit. And notice verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is. Then it goes on to list those nine beautiful qualities of what he wants to produce and grow within us. But notice it's the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit, not us. And that's important for us to understand because it is the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot make ourselves be more patient. If patience is a fruit that we need in our life, we can't grow it. We can't produce it. We can't produce love. We can't produce faith. Those are all things that are grown in us and produced in us through the Holy Spirit as he does his work in you and me. He grows and produces the fruit. We can't make ourselves that way. It comes from him. It's an outpouring. A tree that is healthy grows and naturally produces fruit. And when the Holy Spirit is naturally in charge of our life and we're abiding in him, we will naturally produce fruit. Turn with me to John chapter 15 as we go back to John again. Again, in the context of where we were in Jesus' message in the upper room. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, these verses are familiar. We've heard them many times. But Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, and no branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. What is one of the indications that shows that we are the disciple of Jesus? The fruit that is being naturally produced in our life. And we can't produce it. It is being produced by the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? By abiding in Him. By abiding or remaining in Jesus. John 15 tells us that means by being connected to the vine. By drawing our life source and nourishment from the vine, from Jesus. Through His Word. Through being connected to Him in prayer and worship and praise and His Word. And that vital, intimate relationship with Him. And through that connection, fruit will naturally be produced within us. Through that abiding process and also through the pruning process. And the pruning process is whenever God has to cut away those things in our life and snip away at us a little bit in order to make us more fruitful. And cut away those parts of our life by His Holy Spirit's indication of things we need to remove so that we can be more healthy and stronger in Him to be more fruitful. But He is that producer of fruit as His Holy Spirit does His work within us. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. His role within our life is a support system, as our strength, the wind underneath our wings, is to be our helper and guide. If you need help, if you need guidance and direction, look to the Holy Spirit. Look to Him. He is there to give that to us. He is a revealer of truth. Help us understand the Word of God better and the truth and recognize that. He is a giver of gifts who has given you gifts to use for Him and His glory. And He is a producer of fruit, seeking to produce that fruit within us, make us more loving, patient, kind, gentle, and like Jesus, as we allow Him to do His work within our life each day. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit within us, that You are that support. You are the one who enables us to fly. You're the one who enables us to grow in our faith and to become who You want us to be as disciples of Christ. You have not left us alone, but You have given us Your Holy Spirit within us to be our helper, our guide, to help us understand and reveal the truth to us so that we can know the truth and by the truth we are set free. Who has given us gifts to use in service for You and in the good of the church. And producing Your fruit within us that we can be patient and kind and gentle and loving and control and have self-denial and all those things that You want us to be that can only happen through the work of Your Spirit within. So Lord, may You have Your way. Lord, may we not hinder Your work within us by, as we learned last week, quenching You and not doing what You want us to do, or by grieving You when we do what we shouldn't. But have Your way within our heart. Do Your work within us that each day we can become more like You, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the power of Your Word as we seek to be Your disciples today. Thank You, You have not left us alone.